Morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show. Listening on WFIW AM and FM, Fairfield, Illinois. My name is Bruce Dickey. Guest across the way. I haven't, by golly, I haven't had a show talking about sports for probably 3 or 4 weeks. And I might do that a little bit today, as I've got one of the WFIW talkers, as well as one of the Wayne County Press's top newsmen. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Marty David. Yay.
Thank you, Bruce. Thank you.
Did you tell your mother you're on today,
Bruce? I didn't get a chance to, no.
So. See, because I messed up and got you so late, didn't I?
Yeah.
We got the confirmation.
She'll be mad if she's not already listening.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do.
She'll listen tonight for sure.
All right, I'm recording the show.
Okay.
So she'll be able to listen to you on the radio. That's the wonderful thing that Kathy loves to listen to Marty on the radio.
Yeah, she's so tech savvy, she'll figure it out. Although she's a little more interested in Facebook than I'd like her to be, but
no kidding. Isn't that the weirdest deal? Some folks' parents just get into that Facebook and the kids just probably go crazy. See, my mom doesn't mess with Facebook. My mom doesn't. Then again, my mom doesn't listen to me on the radio either. Yeah. So that's fine, both all the way around. Nevertheless, Marty's here today, and we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on. I was wondering, what's the big news story since the last time you and I talked? We haven't, you and I haven't talked for a couple of weeks, but what's the biggest news story that has hit Fairfield since the last time you were on this show, which was about 2 months ago?
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to think. Hasn't been a whole lot of huge news, especially on the good side. I guess we're trying to get our golf carts going again.
What's the story with the golf carts?
Well,
are we going to get those?
Of course, you have Chief Call Clazier on your show sometimes, too. You can ask
him. He's coming next week.
He'll be able to explain a little better. But he kind of told the council, you know, there's kind of already a law on the books for the federal and state where, you know, if it's a slow-moving vehicle and that's classified as a vehicle that's licensed by the DMV and can maintain at least a speed of 20 miles an hour, which most golf carts, as you know, can't.
I was going to say they're not going to get to 20.
So, but if you have one, if you have a golf cart or a slow moving vehicle that can do 20 miles an hour and is, you know, street legal, you know, it's got your blinkers, your lights, and then is registered and licensed with the DMV, it can already be driven on city streets in the state of Illinois. Where the problem comes in, obviously, is most golf carts cannot go that fast. So that's what they're looking at now. But I don't know if there's a whole lot of interest in it. There's only been.
I drove one yesterday.
On the golf course?
On city streets.
Oh, okay, from across from your mom's there.
I was over at my mom's when I found out I was golfing. So I went I drove the golf cart to my house and then back to my mom's to
pick up
my
clothes. Well,
I was wondering, that's the thing. Was I going to get arrested?
You were in violation, Bruce.
I was in violation. Well, I could have been arrested then because I drove by where some fellows were doing, some ladies and gentlemen were doing some road work. And they gave me the stink eye.
Yeah.
I thought they were giving me the stink eye, not because I was doing anything illegal, because they thought like, hey, I'd like to be golfing.
That's
too.
Probably why. Yes, that's probably why. But yeah, that's one of the pops in my head right now. But, you know, other than that, not a whole lot.
You stayed in town last week for the Fun Fest.
What I sure
was
did.
What was the biggest sight at the Fun Fest?
Friday night was about the, you know, in the years, of course, I've been here my whole life, but the years I've been covering the Fall Fun Fest, Friday night's one of the biggest crowds I've seen.
Is that right?
It was packed. I mean, Main Street, you could hardly walk. I mean, it was just shoulder to shoulder. I believe that night's entertainment was the Blues Brothers Band.
And the pageant.
And the and the Miss Fairfield pageant, which drew a great crowd. It was packed, too, and I think that Chastity Fry and those girls did a really good job with that. Diane Zerlini did the emceeing of it, and of course, Audrey Amann won it, and that drew a huge crowd. So I think they've already decided they're going to try to do that next year again. But yeah, it was a huge crowd Friday night. Saturday, I was a little surprised. It seemed like it was a little bit down. But then, of course, you had the Mules were up north. The JFL was at Salem.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, JFL now, they have you know,
4 games or something.
3 games, I think. So, and they start like at 3:30. So I think that drew a little bit away. Now, Saturday night, when the bands kicked up again on Saturday night, when they had the Jimmy Buffett Band, the Lunar Beach House and stuff, it had a pretty good crowd. But during the day on Saturday, I thought it was a little down. But Friday night was one of the most I've seen it in a long time.
I must tell you, I got phone calls Sunday night and Monday from a gentleman who I believe he thinks you took his picture. and were ready to publish, and it didn't end up getting in Monday's paper in that big section. Ranger wants his picture in the paper.
Why is he calling you?
Well, he called me because he missed my birthday. He wanted to.
Okay,
Ranger
okay.
Ranger will play happy birthday for folks on his harmonica.
Yeah, Ranger was in the. Of course, he's a Gong Show mainstay.
Yeah,
and I believe he got second this year in the adult.
Yeah,
division.
And he wasn't. And he, it, I guess he missed the
they did a group shot on stage, shot. And
Ranger wasn't there.
And you know, yeah, Ranger. You know, he's what 90 or 80.
He's over. I'm not saying. I don't know. I can't say. Ranger, I think, is 88 or not.
I think he's in his 80s. And still does a good job with the harmonica and stuff. And, yeah, they did a group shot on stage, and Ranger wasn't around when they took the group shot. But then we did an individual shot of him, but that did not make the big spread. So we'll try to see if we can get Ranger in
Might
there.
Get a copy of him sometime.
Yeah.
Get a copy
he's
of
been
him,
in there plenty of times. That was one of the first feature stories I ever did when I worked at the press. Was
really?
Ranger, yeah.
Is that right?
Yep.
So
he makes models and stuff too. He's good. Yeah. He's good at that.
So does he call you up on your birthdays?
He does not.
You didn't give him your birthday.
I did not. I remember his dad always said Ranger would call him up.
Ranger calls me on my birthday, and he asked me my anniversary too, and he missed it too because it was like 3 weeks ago, and he played Orange Blossom Special.
I don't remember what the name of the song was he played at the Fall Fun Fest, but it was good. And like I said, he took second in the adult division. So, and Lynn did a good job filling in for you, Bruce.
Oh, that's cool.
Hosted. It was a good time.
Poor Marty. We've been avoiding the gigantic elephant in the room. At some point, you know, we're going to have to talk about the Chicago Bears. Are you still watching the Bears?
I am. Unfortunately, I'll be spending a lot of money on the Bears in a couple weeks when we go to Kansas City to watch them there. So, live.
Did you see the little letter from my little brother-in-law yesterday on Facebook?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Are you going to follow his lead? Poor little Jason Edgington in England, from all places, basically after a 30-year, 40-year being a fan, said yesterday he's all but done with the Bears.
Yeah, but Jason's complaints were he's mad at the ownership because he doesn't think they care. Well, they just fired basically the whole organization. The owner, you know, Virginia, grandma, she's mad. She got rid of everybody.
Virginia finally got ticked?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, that was in the offseason.
Yeah. So, but, I mean, we're only two games in, and he said that he doesn't think the ownership cares. Well, they care. They just got rid of everybody. And then he was complaining about draft picks. Well, we just got a new GM, and his number one draft pick got hurt. You can't help that.
I think
he's just frustrated, like all of us. I mean, I think hopefully they're on the upside. Of course, Jay's Cutler's hurt again, and
What happened to Jay Cutler?
Well, they're saying a pulled hamstring, right? But it sure didn't. I mean, you know how they are with injuries in the NFL, and especially with quarterbacks. And John Fox is notorious for not disclosing exactly what's going on because it was after an interception last week against Arizona, and Jay was trying to make the tackle, and he just face-planted into the turf. And it looked more to me like he hurt his arm or his shoulder, but they said hamstring. So they said out at least 2 weeks, so maybe he'll make it back for the Kansas City game when Chelsea and I are going over there to Kansas City to watch that.
Okay,
so
then I got to ask, do you want him back by then? Or do you want Casey Clawson?
Even though it's
Casey Clawson, right?
No, it's Jimmy.
Jimmy Clawson, that's right.
You know, they were playing with the Packers, even though a loss is a loss. They were playing with them better than years past when they just get embarrassed by the Packers. And then last week they were playing right with Arizona until Jay got hurt. And then when Jay got hurt, it went all downhill from there.
Well, see, now that's the bad thing. At least the Bears you can consistently pretty much count on for the most part, I think, entertaining football, right? They'll play most of the time with the thought that they have a chance to win.
Yeah.
Before they collapse, whereas with my Rams last Sunday, basically they did not show up.
I know, I can't figure out the Rams. I can't figure them out. You guys beat Seattle to open the season, and then you go and lose to Washington.
See, now we have the Steelers coming in on Sunday, and Steelers good team.
Steelers are real good. I think Steelers are one of the favorites to challenge the Patriots in the AFC.
They gave Patriots all they wanted on that first weekend.
That's the JFL game this Sunday too, Bruce.
Really?
The Fairfield JFL will be playing at halftime of that Rams and Steelers game.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. That's a really nice deal. They've done that 2 or 3 years in a row.
Yeah, they've been going over there for a while. I think Weeze, Brian Turner, our sports guy at the press, is going over to cover it. They have to go early, though. I think they have to be there like at 9 a.m. to get in and get their credentials and then, you know, be allowed on the field. But then the JFL is not actually going to play until halftime. So
who do they play?
You know, I don't know.
They usually grab a team or something from St. Louis, right?
Yeah, I think they even played like maybe Albion over there 1 year.
I believe you're right.
But yeah, so that'll be fun for those. I mean, I couldn't imagine. That's got to be just a blast for those kids to get on an NFL field like that on the turf and play.
The blast to be standing near NFL players and seeing just how big they are.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they're giants.
Yeah,
you see them on TV, it doesn't do justice. Just how big these dudes are. I'm going tomorrow to Illinois to see a little bit of that, but I'll be on the field. But those guys aren't as big as the NFL guys.
Not as big, so that'll be fun for those kids.
We'll talk more football and sports and also local sports. When we return here on the Bruce Dickey Show, I've got Marty David. You're listening on AM 1390 and WFIW 104.9 FM. Back shortly.
About the people I meet, the car wash on the corner and the hole in the street. Way my ankles hurt with shoes on my feet, and I'm wondering if I'm gonna see tomorrow. Father, forgive us for what we must do. You forgive us, we'll forgive you. We'll forgive each other till we both turn blue, and we'll whistle and go fishing in the heaven.
Welcome back to WFIW, the Bruce Dickey Show, here on AM 1390 and WFIW FM. Sorry about that short little soundless area of the time. That was my fault. Should be a great weekend this weekend. Sunny, maybe a little chance of showers tomorrow and Sunday, but not too much. Marty, when you look at the first 2 weeks of the football season, we've mentioned a couple of the NFL season. We've mentioned a couple of teams that are very impressive. Do you think the Patriots can get back in and repeat?
Oh yeah, I definitely do. Yeah, you know, anytime you get that kind of a quarterback and that kind of a coach, you've always got a chance. And
they're off to a decent start.
Yeah, they're off to a really good start, and their defense is pretty good. And of course, they're always one of the top teams in that division and in that conference. So I think whoever's going to the Super Bowls is going to have to go through New England at some point.
I guess it's kind of too early really to judge whether folks can win it all, but or can are going to win it all, but have people knock themselves out of it. Like Seattle starts out 0-2, but they lost two on the road.
Yeah, but they get the Bears this week, so.
So you're saying that they'll get back healthy?
I think, yeah, and of course, Cam Chancellor, I'm glad he picked this week to come back.
You know, I can sense a little sarcasm.
Yeah, held out till the Bears, so that was good.
How about the Bears? They're 0-2. Can they come back to win the division?
No.
You've already given up on it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you've got, the Packers are, you know, like the Patriots over in the AFC, the Packers are that way in the NFC. You got to go through them, you know, and it's you want to win that division, you've got to beat the Packers. And Bears, of course, lost to them opening weekend. And then with Jay being out at least 2 weeks, yeah, I don't see any chance for us to get back into it. And then
Detroit was a playoff team last year, right?
Yeah.
And they're 0-2. Is there any chance they can make it back to the playoffs?
Well, I like their offense. I think their defense has lost a little bit, but I like their offense. And I think Minnesota's going to be better this year than they were last year. So, yeah, the chances for the Bears are very, very slim, unless they can just go pull off a miracle in Seattle this week. But it'll be tough for them. I like Arizona, who beat the Bears last Sunday. I think they look good. As long as Carson Palmer can stay healthy, I think they've got a really good shot.
Well, that leads to the question of the Rams at 1-1. You've seen them play a couple of times. They beat the Seahawks, but that was at home. The Rams, they looked like they had a defense that could hold teams relatively low, but then they go to Washington and the defense can't stop the run.
Yeah, and that's odd because I think they've got probably the best front four in football, if not the best, one of the best, and then to see them not be able to stop the run was real surprising. And, of course, I think I'm already out of my survivor pool. Are you?
There are only
seven people left, and I think the Carters account for three of them.
Oh, is that right?
I think Jeremy's got two, and Cade's got one left.
I should have been out the first week, but I had Dallas the first week.
I had Miami the first week and barely won. And then, of course, I took the Saints last week. And
how many people took the Saints? Because I did too.
It was a bunch. I looked. It was a ton took the Saints. So, yeah, went from 80. Was there 80 or 60 something in it?
Well, they started with about 85 or 90.
Yeah. And then we're down after 2 weeks, down to seven entries. So. NFL's hard. We do the pick 'em at the press. The press.
How you doing in that?
Not well. and that's the thing, you know, and that's just picking a winner. That's not against the spread or anything. And it's tough to do in the NFL. It's just, there's a lot of parity.
Baltimore will be, I think, pretty happy to come home finally this week. They'll have a home game.
I think they're a team.
Can they make it to the playoffs? The main question is, Joe Flacco elite?
You know, it's hard to say. Everybody likes to rip on him, but he wins. You know, he gets the job done. He's not the flashy type quarterback, but, you know, he's always one of those guys goes like late in the fantasy round. Somebody will pick up Joe Flacco, and then by week three, they're starting him. You know, it's another weird deal. And they're kind of known for their defense in Baltimore, but they got a pretty good offense with him and Justin Forsett and Torrey Smith, you know. So
can they make the playoffs?
Yeah, I think they can make the playoffs.
And also at 0-2, we have a lot of Colt fans around here.
That's the most surprising one at 0-2, I think.
Really?
Right now, yeah.
Lost at home to the Jets. Lost to Buffalo. Maybe the AFC East is just that strong. And at 0-2, there's really not a ton of talent in that division.
Well, you know, it was just surprising week one to see Buffalo shut them down. And then week two, the Patriots are able to just put up 40-some on Buffalo. So. Right. I thought, well, maybe Buffalo just got this great defense, but then the Patriots, you know, shredded them. I still think Buffalo has a good team as well. But, the Colts, that's them being 0-2, that's surprising. And they, you know, they always throw up that statistics how hard it is to make the playoffs after going 0-2. So, yeah, I think the Colts are in trouble.
The interesting thing there, the shocking thing maybe for folks, is that Jacksonville's in first place.
Yeah, that's definitely shocking.
Jacksonville at 1-1, tied for first place with the Tennessee Titans. There's the question. All right, you're a Bears fan, so you can look at this with an unbiased eye. Me being a Rams fan, I might lose my team. Would it be and take the Bears out of the equation? If I lose my team, who do you think I should become a fan of? Since the Bears ain't happening.
Well, I don't know. Is there any Illini you want to follow to a pro team right now?
Not too much Illini playing right now. Our punter of 10 or 15 years just got cut.
Yeah.
Steve Weatherford got cut.
Yeah. Yeah, he was around for a long time.
And I don't think Corey's
playing out in San Diego, isn't he?
Corey Legette?
Yeah.
You got Corey Legette at San Diego. Whitney Merciless. Still playing down in Houston. He got a nice contract. But, yeah, there's not really much Illini. Mikel LeSure's out of the league now.
Yeah.
Rashard Mendenhall's out of the league now. I'm really kind of leaning to this Tennessee thing, and I just don't know if
nobody's picked up Jeff George lately, I don't think.
Jeff George goes to Illinois games. I might get to meet him tomorrow.
You might be. He might be on the sideline.
That would be the coolest.
Does he still live around Indianapolis?
Yeah, he still lives in Indianapolis. Comes to games, comes to practices.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't realize that.
His son playing at Illinois.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, his son's a freshman.
I did not know that. Well, there you go.
Well, that's the hope.
Anyway. I don't know, Bruce. What are you?
All right, 2 weeks in, though. Who's your Super Bowl? Who are your Super Bowl picks?
Oh, God.
I had Dallas.
Throw up a little bit here. I had Dallas, the Packers.
I had Dallas going first week before the season started, and I think I'm going to need to revise that pick.
Yeah, now with Tony down, but I guess I'd probably go with the Packers and the Patriots.
Oh, man. You are just making it difficult to breathe and eat.
Yeah. But, you know, like I said, the NFL is so unpredictable and hard to tell what's coming. If I had to pick two right now, I'd probably – I mean, the Aaron Rodgers, as much as I hate the Packers, I mean, he's just one of the best to ever play. Some of those throws he made last week were just unreal. And, you know, you got him on the field. It's you know, kind of like a Peyton Manning. He's a coach out there on the field, and he's just a competitor and loves to play, and you can tell, and he's good, and he's got the weapons around him.
Is Atlanta back? We haven't talked about that division yet. The Atlanta and the Carolina, they're both 2-0. They're off to a good start, and Atlanta has looked good.
Atlanta's good, and, of course, you know how if they can get home field, you know, during the playoffs, they're real tough, you know, down there in the Dome. That's where they always seem to give people the toughest games. Carolina, you know, I like Ron Rivera, but I don't know. And that's another one. Obviously, your quarterback's got to stay healthy, but Cam Newton's such a huge part of that team. And he plays, you know, what we saw last week, he did the flip into the end zone, you know. Right. He's always run. He runs more than a lot of quarterbacks do. So, right now, I would prefer to take Carolina to win that division. But that's, you know, that's another tough one.
They seem like that NFL, it always is. There's no team that really stands out as really, really, really good other than those darn Patriots.
Yeah.
I mean, because the Packers gave up a lot of points to the Bears.
Yeah, they did. You know, like I said, yeah, the Bears did play with them. But, you know, and that's another one. You know, if they continue to win throughout the season and get home field and somebody has to go to Lambeau to win in the playoffs, you know, that's a tall order.
Mm. Talking with Marty David here, we're talking about football and sports and that kind of thing in general. We'll probably return here in just a few minutes, and we'll probably talk a little – you want to talk a little bit about baseball?
Yeah, let's talk about a team I like that's good.
We'll be back on the Bruce Dickey Show after these. Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Joined this morning by Marty David, he of the Wayne County Press, also of the WFIW sports team. And we've got a big game tonight. We talked a little bit a while ago. I don't remember if we were on or off the air. Were you surprised the Mules got their hats handed to them at Tremont?
I was very surprised, Bruce. I was coming in and out of my office while I was covering stuff at the Fall Fun Fest and listening to you and Dan, and yeah, we jumped out to that 8-0 lead, and I thought, oh, good, you know, this is going to be a
nice day,
nice day for the Mules, and then that was it. You know, I kept coming in, you know, I had to make sure I heard you right a couple times that what the score was, and I was very surprised. And then, of course, when I was walking around all day, everybody I saw, hey, what's the score? What's the Mule score? And everybody I told it to, they're like, what?
So just kept getting worse and worse.
Yeah, of course, you know, I didn't know anything about Tremont leading into that game other than they were 0-3 and were a 2A school up there by Peoria. But other than that, I had no idea about their competition really or what kind of ball they played. But, yeah, obviously the Mules ran into a little buzzsaw up there.
Had a we had a I had a discussion with one of my friends on the way back. We were trying to determine the last game that a Fairfield team had gone in with expectations of winning. You know, you got to figure you're going against an 0-3 team and laid an egg like that. Just not really shown up. I went back all the way to 1983. But there's not a lot of people who remember the 83 Flora versus Fairfield game other than me.
Well,
And I also mentioned as honorable mention Fairfield at Newton in 1995.
Yeah, that one was very surprising to me. I was, just because I've been doing the years past in the paper, it's another Florida game, Bruce. It would have been the 25 years ago, whenever, in 1990, after the Mules had beaten Mount Carmel.
Oh, yeah.
For, you know, it was when Coach Ron Graham was here.
Right.
I believe Eric Murphy was quarterback.
Yeah, that would have been Eric Murphy's junior year. I believe,
and
because
the Mules had beaten Mount Carmel for the
Simpson
first time.
Simpson was gone. Brian Simpson was no longer quarterback of the Mules. And probably, heck, it might have been Scott Warren or John Warren or whatever.
Scott was playing, like Jared McDowell was playing, Toby Leaf, a bunch of those guys. And the Mules had beaten Mount Carmel for the first time in several years. And I think their only loss that year was to Salem going into the Florida game for homecoming. And Florida came in and beat them 37-0.
Yeah.
And that was one that I didn't really recall from memory, but since I had just seen that this past
week. Well, that's one that would fit into the I think that this Tremont game fits into that, that category. It fits in with that Florida game in 83, and it would fit into that Florida game in 90. Fits into that Newton game in 90. Was it 95 your junior year? Because it was Kip Walters' team. 95 or 94?
It was 94.
The 94 game.
Yes. 94-95 season, right. Or year, school year. But
and that
season.
Yeah, that game was just laying egg bad.
Yeah, it was. It was at Newton.
I guess it's a good thing that we have to look back 20 years to come up with one like that.
Yeah, but I was definitely shocked this Saturday when I kept getting those updates and listening to you guys a little bit. It just sounded like the Mules couldn't get anything going.
I say the point being, for going from that to this, how do you get past just a brain dead performance like that?
Well, you know, it's kind of tough, and then you also had that long bus ride home to think about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know Coach Townsend and Coach Wells and Ellis and all those guys very well, and I know they've been doing it long enough to know, you know, you can't get too high after a big win, you can't get too low after a big loss, and that's, I'm sure, the message to the kids this week. And of course, you get to come back home against, for rivalry week, against Carmi. That's always, you know, they always play us tough, no matter what the records are.
That's right.
And then you go into homecoming next week at home. So you got two home games here to get back on track, and that's, you know, you got to, you know, you're 2-2, so you're kind of back to starting over. And
well, thing is, they really can't stub their toe anymore.
That's what I was gonna say. You know, if you wanna make the playoffs, we're very thin margin of error now. And we still have some big guns in the Black Diamond to go with El Dorado and Johnston City down the road, but Carmi's not going to, you know, be any pushover by any means. Obviously, as they, like we said, they always play us tough, and it'll be a good one tonight. And it should be good weather out. Hopefully, we have a good crowd and everybody tunes in to us and listens.
That'll be tonight at 6:45. Marty and I will be there. It's the kickoff's at 7:00. All right, let's go to baseball. Let's talk about some more happy news.
Yeah,
the Cardinals have kind of gotten back. It's always good to play teams that stink, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is, and you know, that's, you gotta beat them though. So and the Cardinals have done that. They got on a little roll again, and the Pirates and the Cubs are playing a 3-game series this weekend. So hopefully, we can be Cubs fans for at least two of those games. Maybe, yeah. You know?
You'd like to see them just beat up on each other.
Yeah, you know, so maybe widen that margin a little bit, because the Cardinals still have to play three with the Pirates in the regular season here, so I'd like to have a little more than a 4-game cushion.
Well, now that you think about it, with a 4-game lead, if the Cubs do win 2 out of 3 and the Cardinals could maybe win 3, that would put the Pirates down 6 with 6 to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's your goal, I guess.
That would be your goal, I think. What was our magic number after last night? It's probably
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Is it 7?
6 or 7, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you think about the Cardinals bringing back? I guess you got to bring back Matt Holliday, but is Matt Adams, when you look at the devising the roster for the postseason, there have been some subs coming in that have made some pretty big differences on this team that are going to probably push some former playoff performers off the roster.
Yeah, there could be. You know, it's
John Jay. There may not be a spot for John Jay.
John Jay may not get a spot. It's going to be tough. You know, you've got FAM's done so well, and you know, you got Grichik that, you know, he's
half an arm.
Yeah, he's been hurt, but you know, you'd love to have his bat in there, and of course, yeah, Matt Adams. You don't know exactly what his health is. You know, that he's pinch hit a few times, and what, he got one start maybe the other night.
Yeah, he has started. He
started the other night and played a full game, so. But, yeah, I think, like you said, Holiday's the biggest one I'd like to have back, you know, ready to go. And, of course, you know, Yachty's hurt right now, but I think
– Well, that leads the question again then with Yachty being out, and he says he's coming back. Do you go three catchers?
Well, I don't think they would, you know. I think, like they said with Yachty – You know, and obviously he's been around long enough that you don't have to worry about him getting games in before the playoffs start or anything. He's had plenty of playoff experience and plenty of just baseball experience. You know, he was made to be a catcher.
Yeah.
And so I think he'll be all right. They don't think it's too serious, but I think they'll just kind of, you know, let him recover as much as possible before the playoffs. I think he'll be fine. And then I think you just have Tony Cruz on the bench, and I don't think you need three catchers for the playoffs. Or at least I hope we don't, unless there's, you know, more significant injury to Yachty than we know. But, no, I wouldn't carry three catchers.
Were you worried a little bit about, even though Waka ended up getting the win last night, who do you put in as your five-man rotation now? Because Lance Lynn showed up. He pitched pretty well this week. Has he earned his way back in?
I thought so.
To the four-man rotation?
Waka's the one that I'm more worried about. You know, he was, you know, there at the beginning of the year and in the middle of the season, he was just kind of dominant, and he's kind of tapered off a little bit. I don't know if that's just the fatigue of the season getting to him a little bit or what, but he's the one I'm most worried about. And then, of course, you know, you got Waino to throw in there, but, you know, he would just be like a you know, maybe eighth-inning guy right now. I don't think there's any way he could start. Unless just some kind of freak circumstances. But, yeah, that five-man rotation is going to be something that Matheny's really going to have to think about.
Well, that's the thing with Wainwright. The shocking thing, I'm astonished he's back.
Oh, I am too. You know, it's great. But, you know, when he had that injury at the beginning of the season, it was just like, nope, season's totally done. There's no chance. And that's kind of what I resigned myself to.
Well, it's Matt Adams the same way, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. You know, so it's just – that those guys are back and even able to contribute at all is great. So,
who makes the 25-man roster for the Cardinals that makes you go crazy? Who would make it that would make Marty David stand up and yell toward the St. Louis direction, Mike Matheny, what are you thinking?
If like Broxton made it, maybe.
Broxton?
Yeah.
You know Broxton's making it.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, it's just – You know, what's if they're
you know, Jonathan Broxton's gonna be on
hopefully the only time he pitches is like if we have a huge lead in a playoff game and they just bring him in to eat innings.
How about Randy Choate?
Well, yeah, we haven't, you know, I'd almost rather have Randy Choate than Broxton out there, but Broxton's been getting a lot of work lately and he struck out the side last night, so I don't know. You know, it's hard to, you know, that's a tough decision. I guess that's why Mike gets paid so much and we get paid to yell at him about
it. Has Steve Cishek, you think, got himself back grounded and he's all right now?
Well, he threw again last night.
He threw last night.
So, you know, I mean, playing against, you know, Milwaukee in a game like that last night is totally different than in the playoffs. So you'll have to prove it to me first. But, yeah, it was good to see him throw last night, but yeah, he's another one of those that's a little iffy, too. You just don't know about.
Did you see Clayton Kershaw going crazy yesterday?
No, I did not.
Clayton Kershaw gave up three runs to the Diamondbacks in the first five innings. They were playing at L.A., so it was the top of the fifth. And Kershaw's spot was coming up. It was coming up in the bottom of the fifth inning. So he finishes off the fifth inning. He's down three runs. And he's got a streak of, like, 25 games or 30 games or something where he'd pitch six innings. And Coach Mattingly comes over and says, I'm pulling you. I'm going to take you out. And Kershaw just basically lit into him.
No, I didn't
in the dugout. Kershaw lit into him for 5 minutes, basically, for the entire thing. And he was very angry. And Mattingly stood his ground and says, hey, I'm taking you out. I've already got the pinch hitter up there. He's hitting right now. That's him hitting right there right now. You're out of the game. But Mattingly didn't respond with anger or anything like that. He just was telling him, hey, look, this is just how it is. This is his streak's ending. And well, Kershaw, I think, was angry for two reasons. One thing, because he was behind. He wanted to keep the streak going, but he was also behind, and you like to finish with quality starts. Kershaw's also in; he probably gets a little bit of a bonus with the Cy Young.
Oh, I'm sure.
And he's got he's in a pretty good tussle right now with Jake Arrieta for the Cubs for the Cy Young. So he wanted to stay in there, and it all turned out nicely for the Dodgers in that they scored five runs that inning. So Kershaw ends up getting the win anyway.
Still got the win.
He gets the win anyway, but he didn't get a quality start and but he felt a lot better about it after the game. What do you think about the pitcher getting mad about? I mean, basically, he was getting mad about stats.
Well, you know, and I think also part of that's the competitive part of him too, and you like to see that. But you know,
it's September.
The manager's the manager. You know,
it's the end of September. It's September 25th.
Yeah, you know, and I'm sure not only was Mattingly looking at that game, he's, like you said, he's looking at the postseason as well. And
he's looking at the Mets series.
Kershaw's your ace, you know. And they got the Mets coming up. So,
all right, I'm not going to ask you to predict the National League because you're too much invested. I'm too much invested in it also. Kansas City's going to play the winner of the wild card in the American League, which would probably today would be either Houston or New York. Who do you see coming out of that series? Kansas City versus, call it, either Houston or New York.
Well, I'd like to see Kansas Yankees. City, but I don't know. I might have to go with the Yankees on that one, the way they've kind of come on here at the end of the season. But I'll probably be rooting for the Royals a little bit in that one.
The other side, you're probably looking at Texas versus Anaheim. Pardon me, Texas versus Toronto. Does anybody watch that series? Will that get, like, the worst ratings of all time?
It could. Toronto's fun to watch, though. You just don't.
Yeah, that's the thing. They score so many runs.
You just don't get to see them much, especially around here, and they're hardly ever on national TV. So unless you're just an avid baseball fan and have like that the MLB package or something, you don't ever see Toronto. But they can definitely hit, and they've got some pitching too. I would take Toronto in that series.
Well, I've already. All right, I didn't say I'm going to take Kansas City over New York. You're going to take Toronto over Texas?
Yeah.
I'm going to take Texas because they've been they're coming on really strong. They're playing really well right now. And they've got their pitching lined up pretty good. Okay, so we've got two different series entirely for the ALCS. I've got Kansas City versus Texas, and you've got Toronto versus New York, basically the AL East redo.
Yeah.
Going to make a prediction there?
I'd probably go with Toronto.
Toronto to the World Series.
Yeah.
I'm going KC back to the World Series.
I would love that.
I think Kansas City's getting back in. All right, we do have a couple of minutes here. If you want to, do you want to predict the National League?
Do we have to? I mean, it's Cardinals.
Who are they going to play? The Dodgers or the Mets?
Oh, yeah.
See now the Mets thing with
I hope the Dodgers because it seems like we can always beat them in the postseason.
The Mets thing with Matt Harvey and that whole. Rigmarole that kind of complicates things. And the Mets aren't playing great right now. The Dodgers aren't playing either terribly well.
Yeah, it's just
well enough.
You know, hopefully the things stay the way they are, and the Cardinals win our division, and then the Pirates and the Cubs. We know at least one of them will knock the other one out. So
we know that you're going to pick the Cardinals to win any series they're in. Since we know that. Who are you going to take? Who's going to step up and be the World Series MVP?
Oh, geez.
Going to be a pitcher or going to be a hitter?
Well, I don't know. That's tough. I hadn't really even thought about that.
2011, the last time the Cardinals won, David Freese was the World Series MVP and the NLCS MVP.
Let's go with Jason Hayward.
I like the thought. That brings up even the tougher question. Will the Cardinals be able to re-sign Jason Hayward this offseason?
Not, especially not if he wins the MVP of the World Series. Unless, you know, he takes one of those with the Cardinals discount, you know.
The hometown discount?
Yeah, to stay with the Cardinals. I don't think they will because I think, and deservedly so, he's going to get a big paycheck. But I would love to see him stay with the Cardinals.
You see, that's the thing. Hayward's traded for Shelby Miller, pretty much straight up, right? Shelby Miller has the great first 3 months of the season.
Yeah, no, no.
And Hayward was kind of struggling, batted 250. And they basically just flip-flopped.
Yeah, they have. Yeah, everybody's screaming about that, you know, especially when Wainwright went down and Shelby was doing so well. But it's worked out well now.
It worked out well. Well, I hope you're right. I hope they do. I hope Hayward does win MVP because that means the Cardinals most likely win the series.
That's right. Go Mules.
Go Mules. That's Bruce Dickey's show for today. Thanks, Marty. Have a great one.
Thanks, Bruce.